what if the way we tell stories about war doesn't give us an accurate or honest picture of conflict? That's something that worries the photojournalist Anastasia Taylor-Lind. After years of covering wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as Ukraine, she started to wonder if there are better ways of telling the stories of humans who find themselves caught up in war. I spoke to her about a fascinating new project.
Welcome to Donetsk is a series of postcards that I found in a post office in Slavyansk in eastern Ukraine.
They're pretty, right?
They're beautiful. They're idealistic pictures of Donetsk that were made in 2012, before the war started. Often they show sets of couples kissing somewhere in the cityscape. Donetsk is known as the city of a million roses. So there are many rose bushes in the pictures, street lamps, you see the river, beautiful buildings in the city center. I mean, they are a very over-idealized image of the city.
A bit chintzy.
This is how people who live in Donetsk want other people to see it. And it does look like that. It does look like that, even now, in parts.
So what do you do with these postcards that you found?
I travelled to Donetsk and bought several thousand of these postcards. And I have started to collect the names of some of the 8,000 people who've been killed so far in the war in Ukraine. And I write these names onto the back of the postcards, one at a time. So the name of the person who's been killed, the date, the day in which they were killed, and the name of the town that they were killed in also. Using a social media call out, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, I ask for people who would be willing to participate in my project. I've posted 1,000 of these postcards to homes in more than 60 countries around the world. The name of one person who's been killed in the war, addressed to the name of one person somewhere peaceful.
It's a kind of weird thing to receive in the post, a pretty postcard from eastern Ukraine with the name of a dead person on the back of it. Mm. How do people react?
People feel they have to do something. They don't feel that doing nothing is an option, because suddenly the war has arrived on their doormat and is inside of their home. So many people perform small intimate acts of remembrance. They light candles, they say prayers if they're religious, they would buy flowers, or they might take the postcard to a peaceful place or to the sea or to a place that they go to think, and they remember that person.
And some of them research the individual as well? They look them up, find out more?
It's very easy to find out how many people have been killed, but usually people aren't named, and I think that naming people is important. Often people will Google the name of the person who's been killed and will be able to find out how they died. In some cases, we'll also be able to find photographs of them when they were alive, sometimes photographs of them when they were dead as well.
So this project, this kind of global art installation about war in Ukraine, has kind of taken on a life of its own. People then retell the stories themselves. But what are you trying to say with it? How is this different from just telling a news story about war in Ukraine?
Well, I think it is telling a news story. And it is also photojournalism in a way, because there's a photograph, not mine, but there is a photograph from eastern Ukraine. And there is the name of one person who's been killed, a name that could well appear on the UN's list of dead. So it is in some ways doing the same thing as a newspaper article would, but it's telling the story in a really personal way.
What sort of publications have you had your work in through your career?
I've been working for National Geographic, the Sunday Times Magazine, Geo, Vanity Fair.
The really big ones, ultimately, the biggest audiences that you can have as a photographer, probably.
Yeah, my pictures have been reaching a lot of people through the stories that I've been telling, but I don't feel they've been reaching people in a very meaningful way. And I also feel that I have been propagating a stereotype about what war looks like, what the experience of war is for people who are in it. I've been trained as a photojournalist. I know how things are supposed to look. I know what people expect things to look like. I know what people expect wars to look like. If I'm sent on an assignment to cover the war in Donbass, or even if I'm working on my own project that I want to place editorially, I know that I have to make Donbass look like it's at war. phrases like collateral damage and civilian casualties and combatants and refugees. These are all words that we use to describe ordinary people who find themselves caught up in a war. And somehow it strips ordinary people and ordinary places of their identity. Mm. It makes them part of a war story, and that's not always real.
But it is true, isn't it, in some circumstances, that they are a refugee or they are collateral damage, for want of a better term. And, you know, the photographs that you've taken in Iraq, in Afghanistan, of, you know, heavy combat, war zones, Libya perhaps as well, you know, they're true pictures, aren't they?
Of course they're true, but there are many, many truths. And white Western foreign correspondents have been used to telling one truth. Yeah. The idea is that I will go somewhere, find out what it's like, or more often than not, if I'm commissioned, I will be told what it's like and asked to go and illustrate that story.
What is it that you're trying to say about war and war zones through this project that you can't say through your photography?
I want to say that there is not really much difference between them and us. The people who end up in war zones, as these characters in the stories that we tell in the international media, as the refugees, the civilians, the combatants, that they are actually just like us. Like, how can we make personal connections between people? That surely is the essence to good things for people living together. The end of this us and them, I can't bear it anymore. The us and them. It's just disgusting, and I've been a part of it, and I'm ashamed for it.
That's the British photojournalist and now artist, Anastasia Taylor-Lind.